Here's Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
So, Mr. Wheeler, you are against a potential war in Iraq.
Oh, absolutely, Phil. We are very against it, yes. And our import-export company has an official stand on that.
Why do you oppose it?
Well, my family has a long-standing relationship with the Iraqi people. We have exchanged ideas and products the last 7 years. They're a good people. They are an industrious people. And the Iraqi, any potential war with Iraq is going to not only hurt the Iraqi people, it'll hurt the American people. It certainly will hurt myself and hurt my business. Not my business, but really my friendship with the Iraqi people.
Well, how would a war with Iraq hurt you specifically?
Again, I repeat what I said. It would hurt me because of my relationship with my friends. It would hurt.
But you do business there, don't you? I mean, you are making money with an import-export.
No, this is friendship.
How much money do you make in your dealings with Iraq, with Iraqi business?
You know, Phil, I don't think that
Just how much?
We make about $6.5 million annually, but that has really nothing to do with my concern about an attack. Our effort is humanitarian.
You say your effort is humanitarian to stop a war with Iraq, but you make $6.5 million a year.
And I think it's very cynical of you to point that out. You asked me a question, I gave you an answer, but my concern is humanitarian only. And the very deep friendships that I have with Iraqi business people and the Iraqi people. And
it has nothing to do with your business. I'm just asking.
It has absolutely nothing to do. And if you were here right now, Phil, and I could look you in the eye, I would tell you, even though I make about $6.5 million a year, that is true, from our dealings of antiquities and other products with Iraq, my opposition to the Iraq war has nothing to do with money. It has everything to do with friendship. And that's why our effort's humanitarian, and that's why we're asking school children all over America to send a letter of peace to President Bush to stop him from hurting the Iraqi people and in the process hurting the American people.
All right, I have a copy of the letter because my daughter got a copy of this letter at her school, and it says, "Dear Mr. President, this was promulgated by your company."
This is something that we created our company, and we have sent copies to schools throughout the West, and we're hoping to get it a national campaign going as soon as possible.
All right. It says, "Dear Mr. President, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited, we ask you not to attack Iraq and murder children. Please, Mr. President, give peace a chance. Don't murder Iraqi babies and pregnant women. Sincerely." And then the child is supposed to sign his or her name there on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited. My question is, of course, why do you have the name of your company in this letter? And why are you talking about murdering people?
Phil, the reason why I have my name, I don't understand your question.
Why does it say, "Dear Mr. President, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited," and then the child signs his or her name, and again it says, "on behalf of Wheeler Import Export"? Why is your name on that letter?
Why is Coca-Cola's name in the Olympics? Why is Canon's name in the Olympics?
To make money.
No, sir. It's to show the Olympic spirit and to show everybody that they are behind the Olympic spirit, and that's exactly why our name is in that letter. It is exactly...
So a war on Iraq wouldn't affect your business at all?
I don't know. It might, but I don't care. What I care about more than anything else is the people of Iraq being needlessly subjected to bombing, especially pregnant women and children. And the thing you have to remember about Iraq is they have a lot of crippled people who will not be able to get out of the way of some of that ordnance that's falling. And if a person does good, they should be recognized for that good. So that is how I would answer your question.
All right, this doesn't sound to me like you're trying to give peace a chance. This sounds to me like you're trying to save your business, though. You see?
No, I've had friends and business associates in Iraq for 30 years. Do you know who set up the initial shot for the film The Exorcist, where they filmed that archaeological scene in Iraq? That was me. I made the calls. I made the connections. I got the two film commissions together. The thought of my good friends, both inside and outside Iraq's government, dying from an American bullet is so unfair of our country and barbaric. And this has nothing to do with business. This has to do with innocent people. And I'm going to get these kids to sign these letters. And once it hits the press that Bush is ignoring children, he's out. Okay.
Well, how are you going to get the kids to sign the letters?
How am I going?
How are you going to get these kids to sign the letters?
Well, I think once you show the children that their parents could die in an Iraqi war, they'll sign. And
so you're going to scare the kids into signing these letters?
I'm
trying to get the gist of your campaign here, Peace for Iraq. You got school kids sending letters to President Bush saying, please don't murder the Iraqis. And the way you're getting these kids to sign these letters is by saying that their parents could die in an Iraqi war. And this is a cover letter here that I'm looking at. Dear school child, please sign this letter, or when you come home tonight, mommy and daddy might not be there.
Kids need encouragement, Phil.
I think that that's manipulating the kids wrongly.
No, kids need encouragement. You have to understand that children are lazy. My wife is an educator, and she uses this all the time. It's called anxiety reinforcement. When you give the kid the worst-case scenario, if they don't do what they're told, they'll do what they're told.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 on the Phil Hendry Show. We're talking to import-exporter Dean Wheeler, who is running an anti-Iraqi war campaign with school kids, having them sign letters and sending them to President Bush. And he feels that if President Bush is in the press ignoring kids, then his campaign is out. And, you know,
Phil, I think it's very typical, by the way, if I could interrupt, the media being against the peace movement in this country. There are a lot of Americans who are in favor of peace, and we're going to get a lot of them on our side. And we can stop this Iraqi war. I'm talking to everybody out there. We can stop this war.
Yeah, but getting kids to sign a letter to President Bush saying, please don't murder pregnant women, and then saying your mommy and daddy might not come home.
Phil, this is a possibility in the Iraqi war, that these children could lose parents. And I would tell you something.
That their mother and father could die?
Let me tell you a story. I had a very dear friend growing up. His name was Kyle Patterson. And he was angry at his parents because he was grounded. And it happens to a lot of teenagers.
Right.
So he went out to the garage one night, and he had been taking auto shop, and he cut the brake fluid line on his father's car. The next day, his father and mother had an appointment, and they never came back. The car sailed off an embankment and exploded in a ravine.
All right, so he killed his parents.
No, he didn't. He showed them the repercussions of what would happen if they fooled around with him. And that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm trying to tell the kids. If we have a war with Iraq, it's possible your parents won't come home.
You had a friend kill his parents by cutting the brake fluid line, and you say that that's showing his parents...
That's showing his parents what could have what happened if... It's just, I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm not saying it's...
He murdered his parents.
I'm not saying it's a good thing. I'm saying repercussions. We need peace. We're going to get American school kids to sign letters and send them to President Bush, and if they don't do it willingly, we're going to have to tell them the truth, that their parents could die in an Iraqi-American war.
Well, the likelihood of Americans dying in that war is very slim.
Oh, you really think?
Well, it's slim in terms of civilian death. It's not slim, certainly, in terms of military death. It is slim in terms of civilian death.
Well, the kids don't know that. And
well, I think it's wrong to play with the kids' emotions like that.
Do you think it's better that we have a war with Iraq and I lose? Well, it has nothing to do with my business, but I lose friends, and yes, I would lose some business. And the innocent children of America should not be lied to by President Bush. Mommy and Daddy could take an Iraqi bullet if they don't write these letters.
Well, that's bull crap, and you know it. Complete and utter bull crap. Our number is, but this is one of the reasons why I don't think the peace movement in this country is going to take off, because you guys have to go through these kinds of exercises to get anybody interested in a peace movement.
We'll get people interested in a peace movement. I got $6.5 million, which doesn't have anything to do with why I want peace, but I do have a business.
You keep saying it has nothing to do with peace, but you got this business.
I've got a business. I've got mouths to feed. But I also don't care about the business. I care about peace. I care more about peace than I do about the money that I'm losing. But I want to mention the money I'm losing because I care about that too. But mostly I do care about peace.
Do you care about kids?
When you say kids, what do you...
Do you care about children?
Yes, of course I do.
Do you care about their lives?
Of course. What does that got to do with what we're talking about?
Well, by telling a kid, sign this letter of peace for President Bush, or you won't see your mommy and daddy, that manipulates their minds.
Well, I'm not...
Yeah, you're not getting it. All right, 1-800-449-8686 is our number here. I'm talking to Dean Wheeler. He is the head of another prong in the burgeoning peace movement in America against a war with Iraq. he is sending out a letter to school kids for them to sign and send on to President Bush. I want to read this again. Dear Mr. President, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited, we ask you not to attack Iraq and murder children. Please, Mr. President, give peace a chance. Don't murder Iraqi babies and pregnant women. Sincerely, and then the child would sign their name there, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export. He believes that this is going to get Bush out of office, because if Bush is seen ignoring school children, why then he's out of office. 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Do you think that there should be a peace movement? Do you think that the need for peace is so important that we lie to children? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, here's the part, and Dean Wheeler is with me. He is a part of, you call yourself a part of an ever-burgeoning peace movement in America against the war in Iraq.
Well, there's no doubt the peace movement is moving, Phil, very rapidly. And we can stop Bush from hurting our business. You know, it's not hurting our business, but killing people.
Is it your business or is it people?
You've asked me that question now about four times, and I think I've answered it.
I don't think you have, because every time I talk to you, you say we don't want President Bush to hurt our business, but then our people.
Look, my business is people. I love people.
Your business is importing and exporting antiquities, as you say, and other things from Iraq.
I deal with the Iraqi people. The war, let's get to the point here. The war with Iraq is going to murder pregnant women and crippled, all of the cripples that you have in Baghdad, they can't move out of the way of a bomb. And that may sound funny to you, Phil.
Nothing about it sounds funny, sir.
Well, I'll tell you this. A child on a crutch can't get out of the way of a nuclear a bomb. You'd have to. Can you imagine how fast that child would have to be on that crutch to get away from the radius of a and all of these things, to me, smack of a homicide, of genocide, and the 6.5 million that I lose, I don't care. It hurts, and I have kids in private school, but I don't care. I only care about the child who's on that one single crutch trying to hobble out of the way of an American smart bomb whose destructive radius is several miles. There's no way. The child could have hobbled for a half hour and still would be incinerated.
Child this, child that. You know,
yes, that's right, Mr. Hendry. Children are our future. And President Bush is robbing me, he's robbing all of us, of our economic growth and of our peace by attacking Iraq.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Dean Wheeler of Wheeler Import Export on why we need peace with Iraq. Kimberly, hello, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kimberly, hello. Okay, she's gone. Let's go over to Holly. Holly, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I like to make a point that we're not going to nuke the Iraq. We're not going to nuke them, and I want to make that point.
Well, I don't know how you can make that statement. I don't know how you know that.
We're trying to prevent the nuke, so that's why we're going to war, is to prevent that from happening.
Prevent my friends in Iraq.
Personally, I think that your business is more important than any kid. And how you can say that we're going to nuke them is beyond the point, because we're not going to do that.
Where do you get the idea that my business is more important? Hold on, lady. You're not going
to
talk over me, young lady.
No, where did you get the idea? Talk over you, because I think you're full of crap.
Well, where did you get the idea that my business is important?
Because you keep saying that they're going to have them sign a letter with your business's name. I think you want publicity, personally.
It's simply to say that Wheeler Import Export, that's been in business for 17 years...
You want publicity.
Supports,
that's why you're calling the show, and that's why you are making this point.
It's
nothing to do with peace. It has to do with money.
Right. I mean, this
and
is the, this
and
is,
you sound like a big car nut.
I have an extremely successful nightclub
That's great. That's wonderful. I'm very happy for you. But don't come and say that you're trying to make peace with the kids when you really are just trying to get publicity on this show
so
to get money.
So you think
can say that you're going to go for peace,
right,
and with kids you're going to use children,
right,
people's,
yeah,
kids,
six
to sign a
half,
paper?
If I've heard once, I've heard it a million times. 6.5 million you're going to lose.
I said, Mr. Henry, that I don't care if I lose money. I'm only concerned with the cripples that are going to...
Yeah,
and I guess you think that's pretty good, Holly, a child trying to hobble away from...
Yeah, listen, pal, okay? I have family
funny?
That are crippled.
Do you think that's
and
funny?
I don't think you're that's good that you're making a point and you're using the crippled to defend your case.
Why not? Why shouldn't I use the cripples?
No,
they have them all
because
all,
we're not
going
to go after
Iraq.
The Iraqi citizens. Do you not watch the news, sir?
Ma'am, I
watch
the news.
They're not going after the citizens. They're
well,
not going after
how
the
can
citizens.
You drop
They're
a
going after their weapons.
Yeah, this is
They're
a
not
mis-
going after the people.
This is propaganda to say, and I've heard this propaganda over and over and over again, America's going to drop bombs on civilians. America...
Well, okay.
They're
what
not.
If a bomb goes astray and hits the business, and I don't care about business, but if it hits
yeah,
the business... What if it destroys the home of friends of mine...
What if it, let's just say what it is you wanted to say. What if it hits a business that you're doing business with?
I did not say that.
Well, you
then
wanted to say that.
Business. That's the point.
That's what you want.
Holly, how are you going to drive those kids of yours to soccer practice when you get your legs blown off by an Iraqi Italian? You think that's a riot? Listen to her. She's laughing about having her legs
No,
removed.
I think it's funny that you're using your business as a peace thing when really the fact is that President Bush, like I'm sure he's a very intelligent man, and he knows what he's going in there for, and people like you are not going to stop him from going in there or not, whether you want to or not,
I think
it isn't the case.
Intelligent, that he's going to get his ass handed to him. I'm scared.
Okay.
And I think a lot of us should be scared.
Right.
A lot
you're
of people
afraid.
Are scared, sir, but the
I
thing
am.
Is you don't have
Six
the facts.
Are you scared because you're afraid of violence, or are you scared about losing your business?
Exactly. That's
I'm scared...
Point.
About the bombs.
No.
Bull crap. You're afraid of losing your business. Holly, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. I think we need to see the peace movement in America for what it is. These are people who are doing business in Iraq and are afraid of losing their money.
Mr. Henry, that is a bald-faced lie. It's a slander against the peace movement in America.
No, I think it, you know, contrary to the peace movement in during the Vietnam time, when that was a lot of college kids and a lot of people that didn't really were just grassroots, this whole peace movement against Iraq are you guys with import-export businesses because you won't be able to import mummies or whatever the hell it is you bring over from Iraq.
That is a slander on everyone that is working to keep cripples from being blown to bits. And I
keep pulling that cripple card out too, man. Here is Alice on the Phil Henry Show. Alice, go ahead.
Yes, I just have a remark for this gentleman. He says that he cares about the children. The children are our future. However,
yes, they
I don't
are.
Believe that statement is really true because for him to suggest putting this letter in front of small children in a school saying, well, if you don't sign this, your mommy and daddy might not come home. How traumatizing
well,
is that?
Don't you think that's true? That their mother and father could die in the war with... Iraqs?
Well, it's a possibility,
okay.
but it's going to be, I mean, like, for example, on September 11th, that was on the television. There's going to be enough publicity about it on the television. They don't need to bring it in the schools, too.
I think children need to know what war is all about, Alice. And
how do you explain it to a six-year-old, though?
You simply say to them, war is bad. It can blow your mommy and daddy into
I'm not saying that to my
chilling.
Six-year-old.
You, the children, look, all you say to a child, it's very simple. You sit them down and you say, I'm sure you've seen beef stew. I'm sure you've seen chili. Mommy and daddy might look like that.
Oh, my God.
That's just horrible. You don't care about the kids because to put that picture in a child's mind is just a horrible thing to do.
Alice, we need peace.
Why do we need peace, Dean?
And how is that going to present peace in a household if you're saying your mother's going to look like beef stew? That's a peaceful household.
Oh, my God.
Well, at least it gives them truth. I took my daughter's SpongeBob SquarePants doll, and I set it on fire, and I said, see that?
Well, then
that's
you're demented.
No, I am not. I'm demented because I want peace. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
How
all right,
can
Alice.
It be peaceful
hold on, Alice. Hold on. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Should we have peace with Iraq, even if it means filling kids' heads with...
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
My daughter, Catherine, got one of these letters from your company, Mr. Wheeler.
Yep.
And I read it before, and I'll read it again for anybody that missed it. Dean Wheeler's company has school children across the West signing their names to a letter, and the following letter is this. Dear Mr. President, on behalf of Wheeler Import Export Limited, we ask you not to attack Iraq and murder children. Please, Mr. President, give peace a chance. Don't murder Iraqi babies and pregnant women. Sincerely, then the child signs their name on behalf of Wheeler Import Export. And I am trying to...
And you find fault with that?
I find fault with the Wheeler Import Export, yeah.
So you still attribute to me some kind of a nefarious or a ulterior motive having to do with money, and I swear to God it has nothing to do with money.
You swear to God?
I swear. Mr. Hendry, I am telling you right now, you could drop my genitals into boiling Wesson oil. And I don't mean to offend anybody, but you could do that, and I would swear to you it has nothing to do with money.
Well, thank you very much, sir, for that very graphic and very inappropriate example.
Well, forgive me, sir, but I've...
Very graphic and very inappropriate.
Forgive me, but I'm trying to tell you it has nothing to do with money.
Well, I'm going to try and get my daughter, Catherine, on the line here to tell us a little bit about that. Maybe you can ring up the house, Craig, and pull it up on one of these lines. 1-800-449-8686. Go over here to Gwen. Hi, Gwen. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. I have... I can't.
You just hung up on yourself, Gwen.
Okay, Gwen, you gone? Yeah, she's gone. Here is, I believe this is Mary. Hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show, Mary.
Yes, along with the other graphic description that Dean Wheeler just made, whatever may happen, that won't affect his $6 million. And bottom line, his concern is the $6 million, his kid's private school.
No, it's not. No, it is not. It has nothing to do with money. I care about children getting their parents being destroyed.
If you care about children, you would never have young children even have a thought like this in their mind. This is not what they should be thinking about, peace, war, whatever.
Oh,
they're young children, and that's a very ignorant statement.
Oh, what ignorant statement? What did I say that was ignorant? I'm trying to get children to understand that the war is going to blow everybody up.
You know,
I mean,
I don't want to see innocent Iraqi people blown up, destroyed, killed.
Thank you.
But you know what? Involving children in something like this is only for your personal well-being.
What did I say?
You said that here's a can of chili. This is what mommy's going to look like.
That is disgusting. How dare you say that to a young child or even... I'm an adult and I found that totally disgusting and nauseating.
Mary, I guess you've never been to war. But I can tell you...
I have not been to war.
Wait a minute. Have you been to war, Mr. Wheeler?
I have not been to war, but I have seen special effects, motion picture special effects. And I think that...
Well, what has that got to do with anything?
Mr. Wheeler, have you been to a VA? Have you been to a VA home?
Do the guys look like chili in there? I don't know. No,
a guy that looks like chili is most probably dead.
But how dare you even bring this into any realm?
The children have to understand they're the instrument we can use to get Bush not to have the war in Iraq.
You're using them as an instrument for your business.
But, no, I swear it has nothing to... It has.
Listen, sir, I'm a businesswoman, and I want nothing more than to see the people that I work for do well. But not at the sake of our government, okay? And that's you're jeopardizing children's emotional well-being by what you're saying to them.
Well, that is entirely wrong, because I say we can do stuff. Mommy and Daddy don't have to become like Stu if we call the president.
You're making the children responsible for peace on Earth. You're making them think, if I don't write this letter, Mommy and Daddy are going to be like cold stew. You're making the children, they'll feel guilty if something happens to their parents. They'll think it was their fault.
Well, it is their fault.
How dare you put that on a kid?
Well, it's not my fault. Do you think it's my fault that there's going to be war? No. It's the fault of a kid, because he didn't write the letter about a kid getting exploded and his parents turning into Hormel chili. Now, me? All right, I've got $6.5 million a year that I get out of Iraq. Okay, fine. I guess I'm not supposed to make a buck. Is that it? I'm not allowed to make
everybody's
a dollar?
Supposed to make a buck, and everybody's entitled to it, but you're only
the
saying
only
that
ones
if
that
you
can
were,
change
if...
the world and stop the war are the children by writing letters, and the only way I can get them to write letters is to say, you see this bowl of cold macaroni? Put your hand in it. That's about what brains feel like.
And then how dare you do
you,
that to a child?
How could you? You know what? You,
what?
You
say you own a business? What kind of business do you own? Children have to take some responsibility for the wars that we've had. I'm getting
young
sick and
children
tired.
Do not have to take any responsibility for the wars that are going on.
I am
absolutely
getting sick and tired of kids being let off the hook for World War One. You know as well as I do they had a hand in starting it. You know
what did the kids do to start
what?
World War One?
Pissed off the Archduke. They did stuff. That's what I'm saying. You know this. They started World War Two too, with all of their crying and their belly aching about how they don't have food and all this crap. And the next thing you know, we got to
use me.
You know something, lady?
All right, okay.
You know what? I'm hanging up because I'm finding this man totally disgusting,
you
and you should not even be allowed to speak on the radio.
Make love, not war. Although in your case.
Oh, yeah, in your case, what?
I was going to make a joke.
Entirely inappropriate, considering what we're talking about. Merritt, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi.
Yes, ma'am.
I am an early childhood education major. I've worked with children for the last 14 years, and I think, Mr. Wheeler, that you're an absolute idiot, because everything that you're saying to these children, including your own, will mentally scar these children for life. And I hate to think of any school district hiring a woman who would send these letters home to children.
Wait a minute. There's a lot of kids that are scarred in Iraq, too. Don't you think the American kids ought to take their place in line?
Excuse me, I was talking, and you will not talk over me.
You were babbling.
I will finish what I was saying,
you were
sir,
babbling. You were
and
talking.
And then you may have your turn.
That's
I
fine.
Was not rambling. And what I will say is that I am a member of the peace movement. I am a member of the Green Party.
All right,
sir.
Then we have solidarity.
And no one,
we have solidarity.
Me, I have nothing in common with you.
Of course.
No
you
one
do.
That I know in the Green Party and that's working with the peace movement has ever tried to intimidate or threaten children with the loss of their parents.
Wait a minute. I'm not threatening children. What
that
I'm saying
is exactly
here.
What you are doing
no,
when
I'm
you
saying.
Tell the children that their parents may not come home. That is a threat, sir.
No,
whether
I'm saying
or not
their parents could die in a war. Their parents could die
exactly
in a war.
That is exactly what it is. I am not finished.
Just because you're in the
that
Green Party
exactly
doesn't mean you know
is,
everything.
And I feel very sorry for your children, and I hope that someone listening to this program tonight works for Youth and Family Services, and I hope they're knocking on your door tomorrow to remove your children from your home.
Merritt, it's people like you that are going to cause the war against Iraq.
Absolutely
because you don't
not.
Understand how
and
we get this
what?
War stopped.
I have to tell you,
you're
I,
call
I think
you're
Bush
gonna,
is not, gonna, I do not think Bush is an effective president.
You're
I do not
me.
Think anything positive has happened
you're,
to this country since he came
me.
Into office. However,
me.
I do not believe that using children in the manner to which you are using them is appropriate. Yes, children should write letters to the president.
That's
my
right.
own daughter wrote
That's
a letter
right.
to the president.
That's
However,
right.
she was not threatened with the loss of my life or my
yeah.
husband's
Merritt,
life.
Merritt, this is Phil Henry.
I want her to write that letter.
Merritt, Phil Henry here. I want to jump in.
Mm-hmm.
A school district in Northern California took receipt yesterday of 3 cases of beefaroni.
That's correct.
Do you want to explain that?
Okay, so in other words, what you're going to do now is indict me because...
You had 3 cases of beefaroni delivered to show the children what happens to you after you get hit with a bomb.
Oh, my God, that's sick.
Sick, huh? So you want war. Are you for
no,
peace
sir,
or are you for
I
war? What are you for?
I don't want war.
I
Absolutely
told my kids,
not.
Sign it or Saddam will hide under your bed and eat you in the night. And they
oh,
knew it was
really?
A joke.
I'm...
They knew it was a joke.
I think you should probably be committed because if you actually
committed?
Believe... that someone is going to come and get you in the night. It's,
no, I told the
sad.
Children. I told
that's
the children.
Sad. You
and
know what, sir?
The,
I'll tell you
the,
something.
Those kids in Palestine know what's going on with war. It's about time
you
the spoiled
what?
Children of America figure it out, too.
You
and
know,
if we put their hands into a pile of goo, beefaroni, see, that's what happens to someone's face
Mr.
when a bomb
Wheeler,
goes off.
I'll tell you something. You really offend me because a friend of mine died in the World Trade Center on September 11th. And you
oh,
know what?
Sure.
I know his, I know how.
Yeah, right.
Excuse me, I'm not finished.
Yeah,
I was
yeah,
quiet
right.
while
yeah.
you were speaking.
Well, I don't
you
believe
be quiet
you.
While I'm speaking.
I don't believe your friend died there.
Wait a minute. Have some
why
respect for this lady.
Why would someone lie about that?
I think
that
you're
is
right.
a sick thing to lie about.
I
why
know.
Would anyone
so why
lie
are you doing
about
it?
That?
So why are you doing it?
What? I
why
am
are
not
you lying?
Lying, and I am truly offended that you would even think
you didn't
that
have anybody
would lie
dying.
About that. Would you just
give? Would you give the lady the benefit of her experience and the benefit of the doubt and just believe that somebody she knows died in the World Trade Center?
No, I won't.
You know what?
Well, then, just have the respect. Merritt, go ahead. I think we
you know
all
what?
Understand.
Millions of families were affected. Millions of people were affected by what happened on September 11th.
Well, then why
however, excuse me, can I finish? However,
I've been waiting for you to finish for 20 minutes.
Excuse me?
I've been waiting for you to finish for 20 minutes.
You've been butting in. So I've been on the phone for less than five. Millions of people were affected by what happened on September 11th. They had friends, they had family that were killed.
Right, and it was started by people like you.
The World Trade Center,
peace movement,
in the Pentagon, in Shanksville, and I do not believe that all of those families and all of those people feel the same way that you do. I do not believe that they think Saddam is going to hide under their beds. I don't think they believe that anybody's going to turn to chili.
The Green Party started the whole thing. You guys are responsible for 9/11.
We do not threaten children.
You're responsible for 9/11, though. The Green Party.
How do you get that?
What?
All of their pussyfooting around. It made the Arabs think they could blow things up. See, when
Wait a minute.
The Green Party was in power when Saddam took over.
Saddam had friends in the Green Party.
Wait a minute. Are you in the peace movement?
Yes.
And, Mary, you believe in peace with Iraq?
What peace movement? Sir, I want to know the name of your organization.
A Coalition for War Against Iraq. Now, you people in the Green Party don't even let your kids eat beef. You know, all of that pussy stuff that you guys do.
Do you know my children?
No, but you guys are all vegetarians. Aren't you all
vegetarians?
Aren't you all vegetarians in that deal?
No.
You're not.
Every green person is not a vegetarian, just like every idiot is not a member of the coalition of whatever you are.
The coalition against war against the Iraqis.
And every idiot who acts like you should not go around shooting off his mouth about things he doesn't know about.
I know about peace, and I know that my family is losing $6.5 million a year. And
oh, there we go with the business again.
Yep. I think that's exactly what this is.
Let me ask you something.
Every time
you
start to talk about people, before you mention the people, you mention your business.
Well, Merritt, you know what?
Isn't that interesting?
You know, I think it's interesting.
The first thing that comes out of your mouth is money or business, as opposed to the people.
I'll ask you a simple question. Do you use deodorant and shave your legs?
Excuse me, I wasn't finished.
Do you use deodorant and shave your legs?
Of course. Is it your business?
I don't think you do.
All right, she doesn't have a friend who died in
the
Trade
Center. I'd like to know where is your business so I can come and show you.
Where's my... What are you going to show me?
I'm going to show you my hairless legs, mister. I'm going to prove to you that you are a liar, and you know
all
what?
All right, you know what? Then you better pull that dress up pretty high.
Okay. Merritt, thank you.
Well, wait, you're not letting me...
Sir, I've heard about your $6.5 million. Kids are going to turn into beef.
Okay, you shave, right? Is that right, ma'am?
Are you still talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. Do you shave?
After that disgusting comment that you just made, you think I deserve...
Wait a second. No, hold on for a minute. You said you shave, and yet you won't pull that dress up high enough to show me.
She said her legs.
I'm not wearing a dress.
She said her legs.
She said she shaves. I think she ought to be able to show you. Well, what? How far?
And do you... Forget it. I'm hanging up because...
You know, I don't think
that...
You
know what? No one can ever win.
Okay, see, she loses.
With idiots like you...
No, you know what?
Who think they know everything and who will not listen to...
The Green Party claims... The Green Party claims...
You cannot... What do you know about the Green Party?
The Green Party claims that they shave their genitals and they don't. And I am asking you...
Where do you get these things?
I am asking you...
Okay, I'm going to hang up on...
I want to know where you get your information.
I want to know if your curtains match your drapes or are the drapes gone.
What?
All right.
I want to know where you get this information, because no Green Party member that I know
in the Green Party,
in the manner in which you are speaking,
the Green Party
people that I know are very intelligent. They are doctors.
Right.
They are lawyers.
Right.
They are school teachers.
Yeah, but you can tell a member of the Green Party. You can tell a member of the Green Party a mile away by the smell of vinegar.
What are you talking
about? All right.
About?
Okay. Thanks a lot. That's Dean Wheeler with the Coalition Against Crap. 1-800-449-8686. I do not believe in peace. I believe in war. I'm Phil Hendry. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
The Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I'm back with Dean Wheeler, and Dean, I have my daughter Catherine on the line right now. Catherine, hi, how you doing, kid?
Hi.
Catherine, hi, it's Dean Wheeler, and I know you got the letter and that you are against the war in Iraq, aren't you?
Yes.
Catherine, you're against the war in Iraq?
Yeah, why?
Well, I just was curious.
Well, tell Catherine, this is Dean, tell your daddy why you're against the war in Iraq.
Well, because I don't want my parents to turn into chili.
See, there you go, Phil.
Because you don't want your parents to turn into chili. Is that it?
Yeah.
See, I told you. Jesus. Catherine, your dad, I mean, he's a nice guy, he's a little stupid.
All right, Catherine, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
You don't want them turning chili, right?
Yeah, I don't want them turning chili.
Say a prayer that they don't become chili.
All right. Thanks, Catherine. 1-800-449-8686. Thanks a lot, Dean. By the way, I did the voice of Dean, but I didn't do the voice of Catherine. She's a real kid, and she lives at my house. All right, now, a little something from yesterday.
The Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Father?
Hello, this is
you may be against the war, and you may be for peace and be well-intentioned, but I have never heard of anything so ridiculous in my life, and I think that neither the Pope nor any of the bishops would sanction it.
Oh, we're doing okay. Are you Catholic?
Yes, I've been a Catholic for 74 years.
Would you like me to bless you in the name of the Father?
No,
the Son,
I would
the
not,
Spirit,
Father.
Haven. Well, Kay, no, I would say to you this, that we are trying to keep the war from shattering the lives of young men.
And that is
we're
not
trying
an appropriate way to do it.
It's appropriate because we're trying to
pray
build a,
together.
A boot camp for peace.
Father, you
and
can pray together.
We do pray together.
I don't think that you have to shower together.
We shower together as a baptism. And
yes,
then hand in hand, naked
I don't
before
think
the eyes
Jesus
of God.
Did it naked.
Do you think God would be offended by the naked form of a boy?
I think that Jesus would not shower naked with a boy.
Do you think
and I don't think that it's an appropriate way to solve the peace problem. If you are against war, there are many more ways. Prayer, for instance.
Absolutely, Kay. We do pray.
Okay,
but pray.
Father.
But Kay, did your husband go off to war?
Yes, he did, Father.
Did he lose any of his parts?
He was injured.
All right. Did he lose any of his the scrotalia?
No, he did not, Father.
All right. And well, I'm happy for him. I'm happy for him, and I'm happy for you.
Thank you,
and
Father.
And we do pray, but we pray with our clothes removed, naked before the eyes of God.
I don't think
it's
appropriate.
In the way that God created man in all of the glory of his nudity.
You could join a nudist camp.
But this is the idea.
You hear what? See, this is what I thought would happen. Yeah, this is what I thought would happen, Father. People are going to react to this in a very negative way.
This is the Catholic way, though.
No, it is not, Father.
Well, I don't
know. It's not the Catholic way.
Yes, it is, Phil. It's the Catholic way between priest and boy. And
you guys have had so many problems with molestation, I would think you'd be frightened to death of anything that might even hint at it.
There's no sex involved. The only sex is in the mind of Kay.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. I do all the voices. Except for...
...1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Harvey Wireman with us, attorney at law. Augusta National Golf Club. You know where it is, Harvey? You're a member of the Woodlake Golf Club in Palm Springs. And women, or some women, want into Augusta, even though it's only a men's club. Do you agree, disagree?
Well, Phil, you got to understand something. Most women know that they don't belong in Augusta. And this woman that started this whole thing with CBS... Augusta is a men's club, and this woman wants to get women in there. She doesn't know what she's up against. She doesn't know what she's going to be confronted with, and I think that other women need to slap some sense into her, because most women realize they don't belong in Augusta.
What, is that a television?
Yeah, I'm trying to see if there's something on this afternoon. I was waiting for my daughter.
All right, I
can hear what you're saying, though, Phil.
All right. You say that most women know they don't belong in Augusta National Golf Course.
Well, most women know they don't belong in any club that is primarily men.
Why?
Because of the fact that you have to remember, and I say this to all women, it's a man's club. So if women want to go into a man's club, they are up against smoking cigars, drinking bourbon. You know, we don't have any crantinis, the apple martinis. There is profanity, there is vulgarity, there are stag films, and when I say stag films, I am telling you that we're talking about the 8mm black and white grainy stag films, some of the filthiest things, which I'm not in favor of, and I don't watch them myself, but this is the atmosphere of men. It doesn't matter what the club.
All right, the club you belong to there, Woodlake, do you guys sit around and watch porn?
Some of the guys do, yeah, but I don't. I don't go in for that. But we do have a cigar. We drink bourbon. We drink whiskey. We tell filthy stories. We want to be men. Now, what woman wants to be in the middle of that? The only woman that wants to be in the middle of that, and I say this with the greatest of respect, coming from 40 years of working for civil rights, are lesbians. And lesbians, frankly, don't want to mix with straight men. So you already got a tinderbox with a lot of men drinking bourbon and watching stag films. You introduce lesbians into that situation, and you will have a bonfire, a conflagration. This is what you got.
Are you in favor of women being in all men's clubs or no?
No, I'm not in favor of it. And the one that started all of this is this. There's two women, Martha Burke and another one. There's an attorney by the name of Gloria Allred. And I know you know who she is.
I know, yeah, I know the name.
All right. This woman gets on TV and talks out of her ass about things she doesn't know anything about. Gloria Allred would do herself a big favor if she got herself a man and took a couple of weekends off and went out to the desert and had sex repeatedly and often with more than one man, I think, because...
Okay, let's not... That sounds like you're being vituperative.
Well, I mean it. She needs... Delta Burke stands alone on this. Nobody wants in on this thing.
All right, I'm talking with Harvey Wireman. He's an attorney at law. About the controversy surrounding the Augusta National Golf Course and other all-men's clubs. Should women be members? You are saying most women recognize they don't belong. I can hear that television. It's very distracting.
I'm sorry. When
we go to our first break, maybe you can turn it off or something.
Well, I could turn it off now if you want, but I'm looking for a program here. Hold on, Phil, till I find the program.
That's fine. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. But you say most women realize they don't belong in an all-men's club.
Oh, absolutely. That's why this woman who wants to get the Augusta guys to let... Well, she's all on her own. She's all by herself. This Burke, whatever her name is. Because every woman listening to me, almost to a woman, realizes that once they go into an all-men's club, in a lot of ways, they're up for grabs. You got to do what the men are doing. You got to watch the movies, listen to the stories, and unless Martha Burke and Gloria Allred want to have a hand up their skirt or get felt up, and I'm telling you, Phil, I don't approve of it, but it happens.
Felt up?
Absolutely.
At Augusta National Golf Course?
Yes. Yes.
That is one of the most... That is one of the most...
I know all about it, Phil.
No, it's one of the most hallowed halls of golf in the world. It is a place supposedly of nothing but class.
I'll say it again. Unless this Allred broad and this... And I don't say broad, I meant to say woman, and Burke want to get filled up and told filthy stories, they're going to want to stay out of these golf clubs, Phil, because they're not for women. And women know that. So the point of having me on your program today is to what?
Well, I wasn't aware that most women are familiar with this.
The only reason a woman chooses to go into a men's club is to take her clothes off, honestly, because, in other words, a woman who's working a men's club. These guys, you know...
What do you mean, take her clothes off?
I mean, the only women that willingly go into men's clubs are gals that are working a party. And I mean the ones that are pulling off the clothes... And a little bit of that early morning dew, or whatever you want to call it. Now, these gals got to realize they've got to walk the talk. And what I've found is the majority of women can't do it.
All right, well, that...
This is as absurd as women who want to go into combat. They want to sit there in a trench with a man who's telling foul stories. And let me tell you, I'm going to tell the women this. When a man gets shot, he doesn't say, ouch. He says, MF, GD, JC, GD, and FS, CS, every C word, every F word, all of the BMF, the B words, everything. When a guy gets shot, you think women are going to be able to handle that? No.
I don't want to go far afield and say that the women in combat issue is the same as women in the golf.
Well, it's the same thing. Women don't belong in either place. In the golf club situation, they know they don't. They know they don't.
Harvey Weierman is an attorney. That television. Can you click it off?
Okay.
Harvey Weierman is an attorney at law, and he is retired now, talking about female membership in places like Augusta National Golf Club and other all-male clubs. Now, there is a movement afoot to get women membership in these clubs, and frankly, you're telling me that most women...
I'm surprised that you're not a little bit more clued in with your audience, because no woman really wants to be in a men's club.
Then why is this lady, this Burke woman, trying to get women in?
Because she's out of touch. Because she wants to see her name in the newspaper. Because she wants to get on the TV show, on the Alan Combs show. Because she wants to hear herself talk. And the same thing with that other broad, the other woman. And I would say...
See, with your use of the word broad tells me that you're obviously in this for a little bit more than just saying most women know it.
No, I
if women wanted to join, would you let them in?
Say that again, Phil.
If women wanted to join your golf club, would you let them in?
But they don't want to join.
But what if they did?
They're not going to want to. It's a moot point. They're not...
What if they just wanted to join? What if they said, I'd like to go and join?
Phil, it's not going to happen. They're not going to want to join.
Let's pretend that we live on another planet.
Look at it.
That we live on another planet, and they came to you and they said, Mr. Weierman, we want to join your golf club.
It's, you can't,
Just pretend for a minute. Let me put it another way. Do you want women in your club?
They're not going to want to be in the club, Phil. And that's, I'm telling you, you're taking a leak up the wrong tree. And you talk about, let's pretend we're another planet. I would never leave Earth, all right? I like it right here. Just...
You know, you're not understanding what I'm saying. What if the... So you don't want women in your club?
I didn't say that. I said they'll never join. Women know that joining a men's club means sexual needs need to be met, filthy stories. It's disgusting. And no women out there can take it.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. I never got him to answer my question. But he says that most women don't want to join Augusta. You know, I had a feeling that was, it's a story that's, you know, one woman says, well, we want to join an all-men golf club, but most women don't care. You know, so is that true? Do most women just want to stay in their own clubs and they don't want to join places like Augusta or Woodlake or anywhere else? Our number is 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with Harvey Weierman, who's an attorney, a retired attorney at law, does some pro bono work for the ACLU and other organizations. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
On the line with me is attorney at law Harvey Weierman. We're talking about golf clubs and why women, men and women in golf clubs. Augusta National is campaigned by women's groups to allow women in. It's an exclusive men's club. But you say most women don't want to be in men's clubs.
No, I don't think they do. And I'll tell you something else, Phil. We would be willing to admit a limited number of female applicants, but I got to tell you something. I'm 70, almost 79 years of age, and I'll be a son of a bitch if I've got to sit there and look at some of these battle axes that come walking in and out of these women's organizations, nothing but hatred in their hearts for men. I would think it would be a nice thing to see some pleasant-looking young women who will come in and be pleasant and not this battle axe women's liberation with the no makeup and they'd scare the paint off of a freight train. I would think it'd be nice to have a pleasant-looking young woman to be a member, you know, and they're nice to look at.
So you want some nice Cupid dolls sitting around there?
Oh, come on, Phil. What I'm talking to you about, most of these women don't want to be in these clubs. If any woman does want to be in this club, I'm letting her know what they're up against. There's farting, there's filthy stories, there's dirty movies, there's bourbon, there's no apple martinis. But if there's women out there that want to join, we would hope, and I underline the word hope, that they are pleasant-looking young women, and not some of these frightening battle axes that you see standing up there on TV with they could make a freight train take a dirt road with the faces they got. And I say that as a man and as a longstanding member of a golf club.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Jackie, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes. To this lawyer, I don't know what attracts men to these places, with the dirty movies. I don't care if it's a golf club or what it is. I don't
because
know.
We want to be around other men, have a cigar, have a drink, and we don't have to listen to women for a precious few minutes a day. It's called it's male bonding.
Oh, so you just want to have time with the boys?
Absolutely, that's all we want to have, Jackie. And I'm sure you understand that you want to have time with your girlfriends, don't you?
Well, yeah.
You don't want to join, do you?
No.
All right.
And I'll tell you what. I don't believe in the women.
Oh, man.
I don't believe in women's lib and all of that.
Yes, ma'am.
But to me, there is no rules or laws or anything that says a woman cannot, you know.
Yeah, but they don't want to be in the club, Jackie, because we watch filthy 8mm films.
Okay, you know, you said enough about that.
But you got to understand that at Augusta National, that everybody thinks the place is so clean they don't fart. Let me tell you something. I'll bet you at Augusta National, Sam Nunn and all the guys that go over there, they belly up to the bar, they get themselves a bourbon, and they go downstairs and they watch some what we used to call a stag movie.
Mm-hmm.
You think they're doing that at Augusta National? The place that Bobby Jones founded, the site of the Masters Tournament, one of the classiest place.
Well, what do you know about it?
Well, I just know what I've seen on TV.
Oh, well, you just know what you've seen on TV. Let me tell you something. You can walk into Augusta National on any given Friday night, and the guy that answers the door may have a difficult time turning the knob because his arm's Vaseline'd. Now, I'm telling you, and I'm telling Jackie, and whoever else cares to listen to me, it's not a place for women.
Jackie, would you like to join a men's club?
No, not really.
But we want to do it, Jackie, we want to do what men do in private. You really think these gals want to see a group of men in their late 70s in rubber shorts or whatever it is that we do? I don't think you are.
What do you mean rubber shorts?
It depends on the orientation. But I'll tell you this. We love to have the ladies as guests. We love to have them come in and sit down and have a couple of drinks. We enjoy pleasant-looking women who are nice figures. I don't know if, Jackie, do you have a nice figure? And I
don't think it's appropriate to ask the lady that.
You don't have it? You're not built?
No, I'm a little bit stout.
All right, darling. Well, but your husband could join, and he could bring you on our wife's night.
Yeah, brother plays golf.
Does he play over there at the Pitchin' Putt, or where does he go? All right.
The starter
works out of a mobile home or?
Never mind, Jackie. Thank you, dear, for your call.
Okay.
I appreciate it. 1-800. There's a lady with an opinion.
Well, she was noncommittal. She doesn't give a good sweet Jesus whether she joins the Augusta National Club or not. People make it a big deal. And let me tell you something else. Please, dear God, if we do have to have women, I hope the first kisser I see coming through that door isn't that all red. Somebody with a couple of... Because one of the things...
Do you have to knock women based on looks? Can't we have them based on their own merit?
I think it's fair, Phil, but some of these advocates really make me angry.
Just to make based on their merit. Here is Mary on the Phil Henry Show. Mary, go ahead.
I just want to tell you, I'm driving along the street here in Tucson, Arizona, and listening to this man, and I am appalled. I wouldn't want to take two steps in a club with a person like this, and I am very attractive. You've never actually had a woman, have you?
Ma'am, I was married for 53 years to the greatest woman in the world, and I was in the Marine Corps in the South Pacific, so I've crapped bigger than you in my life. So don't start telling me about
you
your don't start
gentleman.
Telling me about
and
your life experience.
You brought it way down. Let
well,
me
wait
tell
a minute.
You.
Let's start all over again here, okay?
Well, she's starting in on me.
Well, hold on for a minute.
Hey, listen to you.
Hold on
listen
for just a minute.
You're talking about women and the way you talk about them.
What I'm
I don't
saying,
know, you're a different generation, but you don't talk that way.
What did I say? I said that women don't want to be in these kinds of clubs, so why force them in?
I love what you say about makeup. Oh, a little makeup on their face. What are you talking about?
What I'm talking about, Mary, you said you're attractive. We would love to have you over at Augusta, okay? What I'm talking about are some of these battle axes, and you've seen them. You know what I'm talking about. Who's that lesbian that runs the National Organization of Women? What's her name? Ireland? If I got a look at that coming through the door, I might as well go ahead and call Kevorkian now. You see?
I don't know whether to laugh or what listening to you because you are just too
right, I want to say
you're
something
out
here.
Of this world.
You're talking,
not in this time and age.
Wait a minute. When's the last time you were at a private men's golf club?
I have no desire
think I know what I'm talking about.
But just to listen to you, do you hear yourself the way...
I'm sorry, I didn't miss that.
Your phone broke up, Mary.
Oh, I'm just listening to the way you're putting women down.
I'm not putting women down. I'm saying if they come and join our golf club, we'd like a little bit of the, a little something nice to look at. Is there something wrong with that?
Whatever you need.
A little something, a little leg, a little, you know, the face, so the face doesn't scare the paint off the wall. That's all I'm asking.
Oh, my
you
God.
Get what
I don't
these...
know. I'm in shock, so I can't say anymore.
You're
why don't you get some other women on there?
You get, what
sure
you get a woman...
They're going to give some good opinions there.
You know, we are the pillars of society at these clubs. A pillar needs something nice to keep it erect. And that's a joke I like to tell.
Well, it was
very inappropriate.
Why?
I'm on the live radio right now. Do you mind?
I got to go. I'm going to pick up my 12-year-old son, who I hope never grows up to be like you. I'm just going to do that right
now. I hate to give you the bad news. The odds are he will.
No, dear, he won't.
All right, listen, Mary, thank you for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Harvey, I know where you're coming from, but I think a lot of your comments are taken in a very extreme way.
Well, look, Phil, if you listen to what I'm saying, listen to this carefully. If you want to let women into these golf clubs, they're going to be offended, and they're going to have to put up with the fact that a lot of these guys, after a couple of bourbons, are going to want to cop a feel. This is what they do.
Can they act like gentlemen?
Look, we let the women in. Now you're going to tell me how to act? Augusta needs to stay men only. Woodlake needs to stay men only. Most women know that.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Back.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
Okay, I don't know where I am here. Harvey?
Yeah, right here, Phil.
Okay, I got a little wind blowing now. Are you outside?
Yeah, I wanted to let you know, Phil, I am standing outside right now on the 18th green here at Woodlake. And it is a beautiful evening. And I am standing here with a bourbon and water in my hand. And there aren't any women on the course. And I love women, and I love my wife very much when she was alive. But I will tell you something. I'm going to go down here, because we don't have any female members, to the approximate area where the ladies' tea would be. Phil, I'm going to...
Okay.
All right, I'm here probably about... This is a par 3, Phil, so it's a good 195 yards, I think, from the championship tee. And I am going to urinate
All right, Harvey, come on, man.
Well, hold on, because the point is, Phil...
Yeah, but what... I'm on the air right now.
Well, the point is to make a statement. Hold on. Oh, boy. Yeah.
What's the point?
The point is to make the statement that there won't be any ladies' tea here for any time soon, because when this grass dies...
Well, they'll just resod it, all right? They'll resod it.
Hold on. But I will tell you something, Phil.
That's the juvenile way that women see us. You reinforce that.
You listen to me, and you listen good, because I've lived a few years longer than you. If I saw a woman coming up the cart path right now with golf clubs in her hands, I would go back into the house, take the beer can opener, and gouge my eyes out. I would rather be blinded for life than see a woman coming up the cart path in Woodland. But it is a beautiful evening, Phil.
Well, and they don't want to join anyway, so you got no... according to you, they don't want to join anyway, so you got no problem.
I got no problem, that's right. But the more these broads, these Burke women, the one that... what's the one that talks?
Martha Burke.
Yeah, the more she talks, the more these other women are going, oh, I'd like to join, even they wouldn't know a golf club from a clothes hanger. You know, the thing they use for abortions or whatever that...
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Carlton, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Yes, sir.
You know, as I told you before I got on the air, I kind of agree with what Harvey's saying, you know. Guys need a place where they can go and bond, and myself enjoy going to a good strip club or, you know, whatever with my buddies, hanging out and having a beer. But if the women want to go there, you got to let them. I mean...
No, I don't have to let them. I don't have to let them. No, I don't.
There's laws. There's laws.
What law?
You have to.
What law? There's no law that says you got to let a woman into a private club. There's no law that says you got to let a woman into a private club.
I just.
Okay, like so look up the law and you give us a call back.
All right, thanks a lot. Here is Don on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Harvey, I think you got two personal things here. You're putting Woodlakes with Augusta National. I live in Atlanta, Georgia. They do allow women in the club. They're just not allowed members. They are allowed to play on golf courses. So
yes, I know that.
You're comparing two different things here.
Wait a second. Augusta does not have female membership.
I didn't say female members. I said they do allow women in the club, and they do allow women to play the course.
Yeah, but you see
seem
how they're
to be
getting...
misinformed that women are not allowed in the club at any given time.
But you see what... Well, you're wrong. They're not allowed.
No, I'm not wrong.
Well, excuse me. Have you golfed Augusta?
Yes, I have. Have you golfed at Augusta?
Yes, I have golfed at Augusta. I never saw a woman in the place.
Well, maybe. When was the last time you golfed there?
I was there in 89 Masters, just before the 89 Masters.
Well, things have changed since 89 Masters.
Well, what are you telling me? These guys
I'm telling you that I don't think you have your facts, and you're talking about
women, you have made the point that if women are members,
they will go to the club. Augusta National allows women in the club, Harvey.
No, only as guests. They don't get to come in when you're having a drink. And I'll tell you something else. The women that go in there are subject to whatever the men want to do. They'll get felt up. You know what I'm talking about.
We're not dealing with a shoe bar in a seedy part of town. We're dealing with CEOs of companies. I've never seen anything you're describing.
They don't
as
feel
that.
Up. They don't feel up. Women.
You're making two different points here, Harvey.
No, I'm not
membership
making
membership and women allowed in the club.
They don't feel up women.
I have never in my life seen anybody in the club at Augusta National feel up a woman in the USA.
Well, I think that's...
And I don't believe
that doesn't mean
would
it doesn't
allow
happen.
A membership to continue using the club if he was known to be doing that.
It doesn't... It just doesn't mean it doesn't happen because you haven't seen it. And the other problem you have to understand, Phil, women can't golf because their breasts get in the way of the swing. Now, you get a gal out there, and of course, if her breasts are big enough, who cares if she knows how to golf? And I'm sure you know what I'm talking about, Don.
Harvey.
But the breasts get in the way, and so they...
Yeah, they can't hit a long drive.
They can't hit anything over 200. Like Warren Buffett never tried on a pair of pumps and dressed like Marie Antoinette. Well, he does at Augusta because in addition to the heterosexuality that they have there, there are a fair number of our CEOs engaged in... drag, you know, dressing in drag and Vaselining up. And so with that,
264, my love.
I'm just turning the channel here.
Yeah, outside.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm still outside.
Yeah. Okay, so good luck, man.
Well, thank you very much, Phil. And anybody wants to join Augusta, go ahead and, you know, call him up. Friday night is Daisy Chain night.
Okay. I'll give out that number.
Can I give the number?
No, I'll give it out later.
All right. So I got to go inside. I'm getting cold. I'm not wearing any clothes, which is the other great thing. You don't have to worry about, not having your pants on because there's no women around. I'm Harvey Wireman signing off from Woodlake.
Okay, see you later, man. All right, 1-800-449-86. Has he hung his phone up? 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Henry Show. We'll be right back.
And now more on The Phil Henry Show.
Hi, everybody. I'm Phil. I pretend I'm other people sometimes, and people call in and think that the person I pretend I am is real. Ever heard of anything like that in the history of entertainment? Of course you haven't. You only hear it here on The Phil Henry Show, where I'm myself, and I play the parts of other characters. Kind of goofy, kind of now, kind of wow, kind of Charlie. Now then, don't forget our website. And when I say don't forget our website, my website's probably more important than most websites because it'll really give you an explanation of this radio show. It'll give you archived comedy. It'll give you the last 30 days worth of shows fully archived. It will give you an ability to listen live at any time, listening on demand. It will give you webcast archives and a lot of different places where you can access the comedy we do in the Phil Henry Show. And all you do is go to philhenryshow.com. That URL again, philhenryshow.com. This week, by the way, we are featuring a website. I have a variety of links that are some of my favorite links. And this week, our featured link is the Dwight Frye website. The Dwight Frye website. You've got to visit this fantastic website dedicated to one of the greatest acting treasures this country has ever known, a man by the name of Dwight Frye. Now, if you ever saw the original Dracula and you saw Renfield, that's Dwight. Or if you ever saw the original Frankenstein and that hunchback Fritz, that was Dwight Frye. Check out his website. It was, I believe, started by members of the family. There's some very cool information about him, and, you know, you might find other places to go. So this week we feature the Dwight Frye website on our website, philhenryshow.com. A little bit more about our website and some of the things we offer, but first, a flashback from yesterday's program. Larry Grover, who is a former chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, now living on his mother's service porch and sleeping on a cot at night. He feels cheerleading is immoral and leads to the impotence of men. Why? Because it teaches girls how to nag.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
If your team's driving in one direction, defense is playing one direction, and you get the ball, and you hear the cheerleader say, get it in the end zone. How was that distracting?
Because it's nagging. Nag, nag, nag. Get it in the end zone. Kick the ball. Do this. Do that. In one of the games, I turned around and I simply said, would you please just shut up for a minute?
That's their job. That's their program. You're in the football program. They're in the cheerleading program. You know, you've got these girls going to championships because they're good at what they do. You don't see the Dallas Cowboys firing their cheerleaders, do you? No, obviously they want them there.
No.
If you're such a good football player, you've got to run to your own end zone.
But wait a second. How do I know which one is my end zone when I got some nagging, little pigtailed, pleated skirt guy? And she's telling me, go to the end zone. Go. And I said, well, which end zone is it?
And if you think your daughter's a sex symbol, obviously, man, that's something's crazy there.
Wait a minute.
Something's not right.
Are you trying to tell me that I got the hots for my own daughter? Is that what you're trying to say?
I'm trying to say, obviously, in her age group, you're watching these people, you know, and you're saying they're a sex symbol. Obviously, they're turning you on.
Season, if I'm watching you,
and you go up in the air and your skirt goes up over your head, what, do you want me not to look at your buns?
Yeah, I want you not to look at your daughter's buns.
I'm not looking at my daughter's buns.
Then why do you think she's a sex symbol? Teenage boys are going to look at what they're going to look at, man. They're not out there. All the fans and the people your age watching their kids play football are not out there watching your daughter's ass. They're watching the football game. And if they're watching your daughter's ass, they're sick.
It's like
your daughter's out there having fun doing what she's enjoying. You shouldn't try to take that away from her. If you loved her, you wouldn't take that.
But I don't want her to yell out, put it in the end zone, and some poor guy is going to go, which one? And the next thing you know, she's destroyed a man's life.
The man's life, yes. Having fun. If
no,
the man was
fun.
A good football player, he would know which end zone to run to. You let people bother you way too much, and you can't expect to move your teenage daughter. That's a cheerleader. Obviously, she's got something going for her, because where I'm from, cheerleaders, you know, are pretty popular and stuff like that. You can't imagine her to move out of her home with her mother to a porch. A porch? Come on, dude. You got to get your shit together before you can even think about telling your teenage daughter she has to move to a porch with your mama.
First of all, I'm sleeping temporarily on a cot on the service porch, but we're clearing out the garage, so we'll bring in sleeping bags for the kids and a Bunsen burner.
Sleeping bags and a Bunsen burner for a teenage cheerleader girl that probably wants to go out on dates and have a good time and keep her popularity. You're trying to ruin her life, Dad. You're not trying to help her.
That will end. No more cheerleading, because I'm not going to have my daughter standing on the sideline and saying things like, and let me quote directly to you, Season, the hoop is hot, make that shot. What's that supposed to mean?
The hoop is hot, make that shot, put the basket in the goal. Come on, she's trying to cheer for her team.
What's this? We want it up, we want it in. That is humiliating to any man that hears it.
Dude, it's humiliating to you because you have some kind of weird complex about your baby girl. She's having fun doing what she wants to do.
Well, I don't want her showing her buns to just anybody.
All right, this is
sick. She's a cheerleader.
I agree with what the lady was saying. By the way, how old are you?
I'm 21 years old.
20, and so you think it's fine when they say, push it, rah, 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 that's okay?
Yeah, because I played sports. They're trying to cheer them on. They're not trying to arouse anybody.
Were you a cheerleader?
I wasn't a cheerleader. I was a sports player.
Oh, lesbian, huh?
Yeah, I said lesbian. And the lesbian comment you made earlier, you know, I had a girlfriend that probably looked better than any of the cheerleaders out there. So the pee pants lesbian thing is bull crap.
Wait a
minute. Everybody out there, listen, that was bull crap.
What was bull crap?
Baggy clothes lesbians can't.
That's
come on.
Every lesbian that I've ever known, they always wore slacks.
Oh, come
slacks
on,
and
dude.
Floor-shine shoes and lipstick.
What about the bondage-collared porno lesbians? Do they wear slacks? Come on, dude.
Oh,
they're hot lesbians.
Which series are you talking about? Is that the one with Kimberly Ames?
Okay, fine.
Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
All right, Larry, good job, man. Yeah, that cheerleading, you're out there in the football field and all you hear is, go, go, go. Oh, be quiet. All you're doing is giving me performance anxiety over here. I'm trying to get the ball, I'm trying to run it in, and you're telling me to run it in, jam it in, stick it in, put it in. Come on. Do you understand what we're up against? By the way, there's a story in the news today about fake Viagra making the rounds. I haven't heard one complaint. See, it's all in the head, man. That head, this one up here. It's all in your head. It's all placebo. You know what I mean by that? You tell a guy you're giving him a pill, like it's LSD, he's going to start seeing the walls breathe, and he's going to see pillows turning into Siamese cats. And then the next thing you know, you say to him, you know, that was just a sugar pill. He won't believe you. It was a what? It was a sugar pill. It wasn't LSD. Well, it was the greatest trip I've ever been on. Well, okay. All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Aram, hello.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good, man.
Look, man,
Are you not
I'm
listening to the show right now?
Actually,
I'm told that you're...
Unfortunately, W.O., I'm in Dallas right now. When I'm home in Tucson, we get you live on KJLL, but here in Dallas, I have to wait for you on tape delay on W.O.A.I. out of San Antonio.
Oh, I see. Okay, uh-huh.
No, I'm not listening to you live.
Okay, so this is weird. I'm taking a call from a guy that's not even listening to the show.
Well, when it's not 7 o'clock, I'll listen to it. The question I have is,
wait a second. It's 6 right now.
I'm
Dallas
sorry, I'm on
Central.
Arizona time. I'm in Arizona, and I'm on Arizona time, okay? So whatever time it is here.
Ask me your question.
Okay. I was wondering, I'm taking some communications courses. I was wondering if I could ask you a few questions about the business.
I'm taking some mushrooms right now, and I was wondering...
Okay,
sure, go ahead. I always like to help young people getting into this business.
Okay.
Because if it can get you out of the business...
Well, what
fire
you have
away,
to say
man.
Right now might do that. I was wondering if it's possible that I don't have to be as rude as most talk show hosts to my callers and listeners.
Most talk show hosts? Is it possible?
Yeah. Do I have to be successful in the business? Do I have to be rude to my talk show, to my listeners? Do I have to treat my listeners and my callers with absolute contempt?
I don't know.
Because a lot of the talk show hosts, and do I have to hire rude, inept people to be call screeners also?
I don't know.
Because I'm just curious, because a lot of the talk shows I've listened to, the hosts tend to be very rude.
And the ones that you've called, too.
Even worse.
The what?
Because I said the hosts tend to be rude and the call screeners tend to be even
worse. I don't know. I don't know what kind of guy you are.
I'm an easygoing kind of guy. It takes a lot to piss me off.
Well, then why don't you be who you are?
Okay, I was just... curious, because as I said, while
the only way you're ever going to have any success anywhere in life, my young friend, is to be who you are and be what you are.
Okay.
Now, you asked me how you are an easygoing guy. Are you going to be successful in radio? I think you can be successful in anything that you love.
Okay.
All right?
All right, I was just
that
curious.
Rude stuff, were you dancing around, am I rude?
You can be at times. You
and
really
my
can.
Call screener?
Your call screener is an absolute prick. Pardon my language.
Okay, so you were just basically talking about us.
No, actually, I was talking about a few other people, too, but I don't know if you want me to use names.
Go ahead.
Rush is that way. Michael Savage is that way. Jim Rome is is very much like that.
Well, Rome's only about 5'2", so he's
Oh, yeah, well yeah. I'm about 6'4".
Well, there
so
you go.
I would love to meet Rome in a dark alley with a crowbar in my hand.
Well, see, now that's a threat, and we're going to have to trace the call now.
I'll cut it out.
No, yeah. By the way, Aram, you're a prick. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Welcome, and in this evening's news, we have a story of saints. They're making saints. They got more saints that they want to make the Catholic Church. And the way to become a saint, you know, a saint is somebody who has had a couple of miracles attributed to them, and people have had prayers answered when they've prayed to you. And also, your life has been scrutinized, and you haven't done too much bad. And the local bishop decides that a candidate is worth attention and reports the name to the Vatican. So there are 5 areas of becoming a saint. Also, you may not molest more than 3 or 4 boys. Ha, 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 ha. Just wanted to get in that topical reference. Wanted to get that in. No, you got to be an individual who passes certain criteria. Recognition, servant of God, venerable, blessed, sainthood. Boom. Then you're a saint. Now, the way you can become a saint, you got to have 2 miracles attributed to you. 2. Or, if you were martyred and 1 miracle was attributed to you. In the case of Mother, I think her name is Sister Edith Stein. Sister Edith Stein. Does the name sound Jewish? You're right. She was Jewish, but she converted to the Catholic faith, became a nun, and was eventually remanded to a concentration camp where she was martyred for her faith, and a miracle was attributed to her, and people prayed to her and found relief through their prayers by praying to her and her life, etc., etc., etc. So now she's a saint. Catherine Marie Drexel, a Philadelphia-born heiress, devoted her vast wealth to founding many schools and missions for Native Americans and African Americans. She was canonized 2 years ago. 2 miracles. She did. 2 miracles, at least, and people prayed to her. Now, I don't know how you get around to praying to a woman named Catherine Marie Drexel, you know. But if you knew her, I guess you knew that she was a wonderful person. As I grew up in the Catholic faith, it was always I was praying to, we had Dear St. Anthony, look around, something is lost and cannot be found. That was our prayer for lost things. St. Jude was the one of the lost causes. If it was just a lost cause, man, if you, you know, like a zit, something like that, you'd pray to St. Jude. Forget it. I got a thing on my chin. I'm making light of it, of course, but these are what these guys were prayed for. There was another guy, I forget his name, you prayed to him if he had a sore throat. Boniface, I think was his name. I don't really know. There was another cat that you prayed to if you had, it's very complicated. But there are a lot of different saints that you would pray to. Saint Rita was the saint of impossible dreams. Saint Craig, the saint of wet dreams. There were a lot of different saints, and you could pray to all of them. Dear Saint Anthony and dear Saint, but you know, dear Saint Drexel, I'm Catherine Marie Drexel. And then finally, Padre Pio, Pio Pietrasina, an Italian mystic monk, endured various investigations into his authenticity, but his canonization in June was attended by more than 300,000 people. So we've had people canonized in the last several years because two miracles. Now they got four more that are on the docket. They got Mother Teresa, they got Dorothy Day, and a couple of others. No, this St. Edith Stein was already canonized. So they're coming in, man. Quick and fast and furious. People want to see these saints. Everybody's got a favorite saint, too. Now, nobody, for instance, wants Father Junipero Serra. Well, not nobody. He's the guy that I learned about in California. He's the guy that, if you ever come to California, see the missions, this is the guy that settled the missions. The Indians don't want him to be a saint. Why? Because they claim he kicked their ass. He brutalized them into becoming Catholics. There are those who don't want, different guys. Say, Pope John the 23rd, because he was too liberal. And on and on and on it goes. So this becomes a very difficult thing. In fact, my engineer, Craig Taylor, lives right off of Junipero Serra Road down in Dana Point. See, there you go. I bet you didn't know that, man, that you're living right down near that Saint Road. But there's way too many of them, in my opinion. Because who's ever in charge of this is got to deal with it. All right, who wants to be a saint? Let's go. Come on. Come on! Because we're opening the books. It's almost like being in the mafia. Get in and get out. Get in and get out. Let's go. Come on. Have you been recognized? You're serving a God? Are you venerable? Are you blessed? Is it sainthood or is it not? Let's go. Move. Go. All right, let's see what you got here. Okay, Jesus turned up on the side of your gas station. Get out of here. No, but I swear to God, I did. I don't give a crap if Jesus turned up on the side of your gas station or not. What do you want? Oh, let me guess. Mary appeared in a tree or something? Yeah, how'd you guess? Because it's just got that kind of face. Bug off. That is not a miracle, all right? Miracle. What's that? You got it up for the first time in 23. Okay, that's a bona fide miracle. And you prayed to who? Okay. Saint Viagra. And that's... How about if you just pray to me for... Just see if anything happens, Janice. If you pray to me and something good happens, then I'm in the first stage. That's called recognition. Then you move on. By the way, I don't even think you have to be Catholic to be a saint. Or do you? I don't know if you do or not, but it helps. I was raised Catholic, and people still consider me to be that. But seriously, these guys, they get in there, and they got to read up on saints. And the whole thing with a saint, you have to understand, as a member of the Catholic Church, yes, we do pray to them. But we don't think they're God. Now, if you step away from Catholicism, you realize it has a lot of similarities to Hinduism, because we have this pantheon of higher beings. We have angels, we got saints, we got Jesus, we got God, we got the Holy Spirit, which again, when I was a kid, they called it the Holy Ghost, so he's kind of like Casper or something. I don't know what the Holy Ghost is, the Holy Spirit. God looks like God, and Jesus looks like Jesus. When they get to that Holy Spirit, all of a sudden, I just see vapor, don't you? I see a vapor that kind of goes under doors and sort of anthropomorphizes. But we have this Blessed Trinity thing. And then you move down to saints and, of course, the angels. There's seraphim, cherubim, cherubim, the Brooklyn bums, all of these different ones. And then you move down to the saint thing. And I think below that is, well, then there's demons and devils. So Catholicism's freaky to a lot of people because it does remind one of ancient Hindu religions or some Buddhist sects whereby there are different Buddhas. But see, it's all just sort of off the same energy. And I ain't prayed to a saint in a long time. I haven't done Dear St. Anthony, look around, something is lost and cannot be found for years. And I lose my car keys regularly. And I used to do that all the time. And my mother would say, pray to St. Anthony. Mom, I can't find it. Pray to St. Anthony. All right, Dear St. Anthony, look around, something is lost and cannot be found. And next thing you know, there it is, Amelia Earhart. So I found Amelia Earhart in my sofa. Anyway, to make a long story short, to make a long story even longer, it's really out there. And unless you kind of get the vibe, you don't want to be a Catholic. You just don't want to be. Okay, I go to Mass sometimes with Maria, and they get, and now could we have our initiates approach the altar? And there'll be five or six people who want to be Catholic. I'll be, really? Did you get it all, man? Because I don't understand half of it myself. You get the whole thing with saints, you know, and recognition, and okay. And Gabriel, he was a saint. Lucifer, he was a saint. Some of them have names. Bob, some of them have, wasn't there another saint with a name that was really out there and cool? I mean, I'm talking about not saints, angels. Saint Joey, they had. Ezrael. So there's saint envy in the Catholic faith, and if you grow up in the faith and you hear about somebody getting canonized, you just go, wow, let's dig that. Mother Teresa, she is on the list. Now, Mother Teresa, people have prayed to her, and they've gotten better. So the next thing they're going to have to look at, what about a miracle? Did she perform a miracle? Did somebody's face get healed? Did someone's ass come back on? Did what happen? Did a fire go out? What happened? Can they attribute this? And then they investigate into it and find out whether that happened. And then she becomes a saint. And then she becomes Saint Mother Teresa. Now, they've gotten rid of a few saints in recent years. There was one saint that sat on a pole for 20 years. He was a pole-sitting saint. And they made him a saint because they thought that was groovy. The guy sat on a pole for 20 years on the top of a pole because he wanted to be near God. So he climbed up the pole. He sat up there 20 years. And finally, somebody went, well, you want to come down now? I don't know what you're doing, okay?
Well, I want to get close to God.
Yeah, okay. You're not going to be a saint, man. Forget it. But they made him a saint, and then they took it away. And that's got to be the biggest insult. You're a saint. You croak. 500 years, people are praying to your ass, and finally, get out of here with a pole sitting. Somebody went back and reviewed all of this. He what? He sat on a pole. Well, get him out of there. That ain't a saint. Catholics took away St. Christopher. Why? Because that was what you used to give girls when you were in Catholic school if you were going steady with her. You gave her your St. Christopher medal. So what, he's the saint of making out? I don't know. He's the saint of your first feel? They got rid of him. Said it was a myth. They don't even know if the guy exists. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Coming up, another chapter of Do It Like the Guy Did It in the Movie. That's right, you could win yourself a Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. That's coming up in a few minutes here on The Phil Hendry Show.
Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
One of the great moments in film history when Agent Starling meets Hannibal Lecter and he launches into this speech.
You're so ambitious, aren't you? You know what you look like to me with your good bag and your cheap shoes? You look like a rube. A well-scrubbed, hustling rube with a little taste. Good nutrition's given you some length of bone, but you're not more than one generation from poor wire trash, are you, Agent Starling? And that accent you've tried so desperately to shed, pure West Virginia. What does your father do? Is he a coal miner? Does he stinkle the land? You know how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the backseats of cars, while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the end.
You know what you look like to me? You look like a rube.
I love that. Anthony Hopkins. So On today's edition of Do It Like the Guy Did It in the Movies, you only have to repeat back to me this segment of that speech.
Now, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
And all those sticky fumblings. What does he say? And how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars while all you could do was dream about getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI. So what you got to do is do your Anthony Hopkins impression, do your Animal Hector, your Animal Lecter impression here at 1-800-449-8686, and it could be worth a Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. And we do encourage, of course, the women to do their part. Last week, what was the speech? Oh, it was from Pulp Fiction, and it was Christopher Walken's magnificent. He'd be damned, you know, that whole trip, and we had some women calling, and you know, it was okay. I think the ladies were a little intimidated. I think you can do this. I think you guys can lay this one out. Let's listen one more time to Hannibal Lecter. The speech begins with the phrase, "And oh, how quickly the boys found you."
And oh, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the end.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. If you can do it, you win yourself a Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. And now, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars. And all you could dream of was getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI. All right, we got one guy lined up on the phone here, man. You know, that's the thing about doing a show like this. I'm the entertainment. I'm the focus. I am the originator of all things funny, humorous, and entertaining. The audience is not used to actually having to contribute on this program, and that's okay. That's the way I like it. Unlike other radio shows where if you don't call, the guy is twisting in the wind. He's out there with his ass hanging in the breeze. On this program, you don't call in. Who cares, right? Phil will do it for you. Phil will give it to you. Every day, just like clockwork, I'm here laying it out. Morning, noon, and night, wherever they decide to run the show. It doesn't matter anymore. They used to say, well, we'd like to be on between, say, 7 and midnight. Now stick it in the middle of the night. In any event, let's go over to our first caller here. It's Mark. Mark?
Phil.
All right, you want to hear it again? I'm going to play it one more time for you here. Remember, the opening line is, "And oh, how quickly the boys found you." Here it is.
"And oh, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the end of the FBI."
All right, would you like to grab a hold of it and squeeze?
Let's give it a shot.
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. "And oh, how quickly the boys found you, all those sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars, while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Very good, Mark. Very, very good.
I might have missed a line there, but...
Yeah, it's cool. It's the character that we want, really, more than anything. So hold on, Mark. You are... I'm going to give you 4 stars on that one.
Thank you, Phil.
I wish we had a bell or some kind of crap to ring. Hold on. All right, here's Mark. 1-800, you got a bell? Lay it on me, baby. All right, there you go. How out of sight is that? All right, 1-800-449-866. Now this is the time when people are sitting there going, well, I can do better than that guy. So there you go. This is when you call in, see? Let's play it again.
"And oh, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars. But you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the end.
All right, let's go over here now to Craig. Hi, Craig.
Hey.
Go ahead, brother.
"And oh, how quickly the boys found you. Those tedious, stickly fumblings in the back seats of cars, but how I could dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting to the FBI.
It's not the FBI. It's not the Federal Viagra of Investigation. It's the FBI.
Federal Venereal of Investigation.
Federal Venereal Disease Investigation Bureau. Right, okay, hold on. All the way to Federal Venereal Disease Investigation. Oh, forget it. Let's go over here to Andy. Andy, go ahead, man. Lay it on me. Do you want to hear it again?
I think I got it.
Okay, brother.
"And oh, how quickly the boys found you. Lying in the back seat, all those tedious, sticky fumblings. In the back seat as you dreamed about getting somewhere, getting anywhere, getting high. All the way to the FBI.
Very nice. Everybody likes to wrap their lips around that final FBI. All right, here is Jeanette. Way to go, Jeanette. Way to just get in there and pitch, baby.
Okay.
All right, you ready? You want to hear it again?
No, nope, I'm fine.
Okay, here is Jeanette now with the speech from Silence of the Lambs.
And oh, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
That's brilliant. That's very good. Going to give Mark a run for his money. Hold on there, Jeanette. And finally, we have Aaron. Aaron, you want to hear it again?
Yeah,
wait a minute.
Know how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the backseats of cars while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Ta-da.
Got it.
Go.
All right. And oh, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the backseats of the car. Well, you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Not bad, brother. Hold on. Who do you think? I got Mark and Jeanette. I got Mark and Jeanette. I think we need to have a Hopkins off. We got to have a Lamb off with Mark and Jeanette. All right. So hold on here. 1-800-44. So I said I wanted to do this bit over one segment. Now I'm going to stretch this into two segments. Really pound the crap out of this. Really drive the listeners away. But what do I care? 1-800-449-8686. The number here on the Phil Henry Show.
Will
you shut up? We'll be right back with Mark and Jeanette with their Lamb off.
Dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
The Phil Henry Show is back.
All right, so we can mercifully get out of this bit. Let's hear it one more time. Then we'll have Mark, and then we'll have Jeanette. We'll have the Lamb off here. Here's Anthony Hopkins from Silence of the Lambs.
You know how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the backseats of cars while you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Cool. Now let's start with Mark. Mark, you did a brilliant job.
Thank you,
Phil. Do one more time for me, man.
Okay.
So you can get that Jay Santos t-shirt.
Great. Sounds great. Here we go. And oh, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the back seats of cars. While you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Cool. And you got that nasal thing, you know. All those tedious, sticky fumblings. It's almost like Catherine Hepburn.
Well, right, thanks to the Tucson allergies. Yeah, that's kicking me pretty hard right now.
All right, hold on, man. Here is Jeanette. Jeanette?
Yes.
This is for a Jay Santos t-shirt. Go for it.
And oh, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the box seats of cars. While you could only dream of getting out, getting anywhere, getting all the way to the FBI.
Okay. That was great, but you know what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and give both of you the Jay Santos t-shirt.
That sounds great.
Isn't that cool?
That's awesome.
The boys found you.
So that's really cool, and hang on. We're going to get phone numbers, addresses, places where we might be able to find you, and we need a next of kin in case of an emergency, anything. All right?
You're my hero.
And thanks for coming on the program and doing this stupid thing.
Great. Hey, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. And Jeanette, am I your hero?
Yes, you are.
That's bullcrap.
You're the man.
That is bullcrap. All right, don't hold on for a minute, and the next man's voice that you will hear is Chris, and he'll get all of your stuff for you, okay?
Thanks.
Hold on, kids.
And oh, how quickly the boys found you. Getting out, getting away to the FBI.
Okay. Now, all night. That's what happened last week with the Pulp Fiction thing. Tonight, it's... Last week, you'd be damned. And this, tonight's going to be, oh, how quickly the boys found you. It just happens like that. Wait till we do next week, because we are featuring the Dwight Fry website on our Phil Henry Show website. Next week, we're going to have Dwight Fry's amazing moment there with Bela Lugosi from Dracula, where he goes, "Don't kill me, master! Anything but that!" or however he did it. I forget. Now, from yesterday's program, we got a nice little moment for you. This is Bobby Dooley. And Bobby Dooley was talking about some baloney. I forget what it was. So let's listen. Oh, she's donating her clothes to a battered woman's shelter. She doesn't want all those women wearing her beautiful Ann Taylor banana yellow lime green pantsuit.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy Gold.
Hi, there's not much I can't say that has already been said because your clothes are definitely dubious at best. But, you know, you are saying that you and your husband waited outside this battered shelter to go and see if these women were wearing your clothes, and then you corner them and he grabs them by the arm. Do you not think that's particularly bright? They've already been beaten up, which is why they are where they are. They're probably frightened to death. It doesn't help very much, does it?
Well, I don't know. Throw another shrimp on the Barbie.
Oh, what? Grow up, will
you? There is something wrong with you.
What's wrong with me?
Shrimp on the Barbie?
Well, what are you? Aren't you from England or Australia?
Now, you think it's Australia, but yes, it's England. What the hell's got that got to do with anything?
That's what you're
How shallow are you that you don't want people to wear your clothes because they have a black eye? And nobody gets with a guy. Well, yes, okay, some people may make wrong choices, but you can be with somebody and be with them for years before something happens to you. So you may one day have your comeuppance, and I hope you do.
You know, mm-hmm. I'm feeling a little misty listening to you because you remind me of Princess Diana.
Oh, really?
Yes,
oh, I know. Well, I didn't really
I don't mean Princess Diana in terms of her fashion sense. I just mean you sound like her.
Well, believe me, but she had a lot better fashion sense by the sounds of it than you did. I mean, lime green. Oh, my God. Gingham green dresses with red boots. What the hell is that? What are you, Dorothy from freaking Wizard of Oz?
Excuse me. It's a beautiful dress.
If all this stuff is so beautiful, why are you giving it away?
Because I don't want these women, when they walk out there with their faces caved in, because some guy threw them down some stairs, and then people say, oh, look, there's Bobby's dress. Oh, my God. Look at what's in it.
You missed what I just
look
said.
At what's
if you think
in
these
it.
Clothes are so beautiful, why are you giving them up in the first place?
Listen to this. Because obviously they're out of fashion. They're last spring, all right?
Oh, God forbid.
I have an
ox-blood
casual
terry from Jersey Cochet. I'm surprised they even allow themselves to be seen in last year's fashion with a black eye at that.
So you're telling me a forest green gingham dress with brick red cowboy boots from Laura Ashley.
It's laughable.
I beg your pardon.
It's absolutely laughable. Yeah, you may. People may know you from your fashion sense, and that will be because they're laughing at you in the street.
Hey, can I ask the lady a question?
Yes, Steve, what?
Can you say speed up, the paparazzi is catching up?
Oh, that's so
funny.
That's
really funny, man. That's
God,
really funny.
I mean, you really are a jerk.
I really want to
you two deserve each other, and you know what? I hope you're blissfully happy forever, because
I really feel sorry
for any other person that ends up with either one of you two.
Do they have wife beating in England? Because I don't think you do.
And really? So, why is that, then?
Well, you don't understand the problems we have in America.
Women are beaten here,
and then they have to go to a place. But we gave them spermicide.
Yeah, we got it. Menstrual sponges and everything else.
Oh, yeah, because after they've been beaten to crap by some arsehole man, the last thing they're going to want to do is go out screwing around with your spermicide. I mean, that's ridiculous. And as for the piano stool, my God. I mean, if you were giving them food or, like you initially said, pots and pans or stuff for their house they could use, a waffle iron. A saucepan, yeah, a waffle iron. Who bothers with that?
You're very judgmental.
Things that are actually of use to them. Spermicides and piano stools don't really do it for battered women, I wouldn't imagine.
You're very judgmental.
If you really want to help them, give them something useful.
You're very judgmental.
Judgmental?
Yes, you are.
It's coming from you. That's a classic.
Oh my goodness.
You're either doing this as a complete wind-up and you don't mean any of what you're saying.
Absolutely. That's my feeling.
The fact that there are people like you still out in this world
troubles me immensely. If you guys are for real on this.
Oh, Phil, so in other words, beating women is funny to you. You think that's a big joke? I don't.
Who says it's funny?
Well, you do. You think this is some kind of some... I think the crap that's flying out of your mouth,
I think you're either trying to make yourself seem... Something you're not, because to think that you're actually meaning what you're saying doesn't give people much faith in humanity, does it?
Well, Karen, why don't you and Tony Blair go out and find some fun,
God, you are like a child.
Man.
You're 38 years old, and the comments you're coming out with are asinine.
And have you ever eaten a meat pie?
Educated. If you were educated, you'd come up with something better to say than that.
Yeah, really, absolutely. Some of these comebacks are a little stale.
They are, aren't they?
What do you mean, have you ever eaten a meat pie? Anyway, that's all I have to say, because
there's no getting through to people like you, sir.
All right. Well, listen, we're sorry that we won the Revolutionary War, but...
Oh, brother.
Oh, my God.
Karen, thank you very much.
But I do want to say I do want to say this. I've got a wonderful mauve purple cocktail dress for sale, Karen. Karen, have you ever eaten bangers and mash?
No, I'm vegetarian. Well, if you know what one of those is.
Isn't bangers vegetarian?
No, it's a
no,
sausage.
No, bangers is pork.
It's you get it's pork.
Pork.
All right, thanks, Karen.
Okay, bye-bye.
Karen, thanks for John Lennon, but piss off.
Phil Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
You know, the best line in that bit was,
you ever eaten a meat pie?
Thanks for John Lennon, but piss off. I ask you, where else are you going to get radio comedy like this day in and day out? You think Comb Over Boy is going to deliver it? Comb Over Boy talks about how funny he is. We is funny. I mean, he can talk and say that he's got a lot of young listeners. And he can talk like this because everybody talks like this, don't they? And he can say, you know, we have, Jesus, God, what has happened to this business? The same thing that's happened to this business for years. Just the same hacks and lightweights. We need to be on more FM radio stations, too. I would like to sort of make that request, if it's not too much to ask. Could we get on a couple of FM stations? I'm fighting for my life on AM radio stations where the likelihood of having a 25 to 54 listener somewhere around is about as likely as me catching a freaking suntan on an iceberg. So it would be a nice thing if we could grab a couple of more FM radio stations. That'd be sweet. So then we get on those stations, and we go up against this comb-over jackass. People can listen to real quality comedy as opposed to some guy ripping off Opie and Anthony's material. Which now those guys are fired, so they have no defense. Now Comb-Over can say he invented all of that stuff, when everybody knows he just copped all his licks from Opie and Anthony and Neil Rogers and everybody else. Now see, I've gotten into a mood. Now I've gotten into a mood, haven't I? You see how you've maddened me, Comb-Over boy? You see how you've maddened my nature? Ah, what a glorious evening. All right, 1-800-449-8686. I know it'll make me feel better.
Now, how quickly the boys found you. All those tedious, sticky fumblings in the backseat of cars. While you could only
be... Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. I'd like to direct you to the Phil Hendry Show website. We have this audio that I always like to talk about. Quality, quality audio, as opposed to the audio that you may find on some unofficial fan site of bits from our show and total shows that really sucks. Don't believe me? Why, let's listen to Ryan from Phoenix, who writes, in reference to the show last night, the audio on www.philhendryshow.com kicks ass. I've listened to both your site and the alternative sites, and the alternative sites for Phil's audio sucked and cut out most of the time. So I testify, $6.95 a month is worth it for a backstage pass, signed a 2-year listener, Ryan from Phoenix. You see, friends, there are more letters just like Ryan's, so get your backstage pass. It's only $6.95. Get the good, clean, quality audio from the Phil Hendry website and not the lo-fi mung that is running around the floors of some of these alternative sites, well-meaning though they be. Thank you, and let's continue with the show. Now, I was looking over a list of bad movies, and I don't think there's anything more fun than reminiscing about a good movie than reminiscing about a bad movie. Bad movies can have their moment of connection and contact with people. I walked out of a film, and I don't walk out of many, but I've already pretty much told you guys the movies that I've walked out of. And interestingly enough, most of them have come in the last 10 years. I walked out of a movie called Conspiracy Theory with Mel Gibson and Julia Roberts because even though my better instinct told me that any movie teaming those two up was bound to fill the sinuses with a scent slightly sulfuric, slightly egg-like, slightly roast beef and egg-like, I went in anyway, and guess what? I was right. The movie was horrible, and I walked out within 30 minutes. Another film I walked out of, and I don't know what was wrong with me back in these days. I was going out with this girl. We had seen Oh God with George Burns and John Denver. So when Oh God Book 2 came out, I thought, well, maybe it'll be funny. And I went in there, and I still, when I think about it, I still tear up. Let me just put it to you that way. I still tear up. Another movie that I walked out of, and it was within the last 7-8 years, was a little thing, maybe you remember it, called The Fan. Robert De Niro and Wesley Snipes. The dumbest film possibly ever made. And the thing that right away told you it was dumb, he's listening to a sports talk show, this fan played by De Niro, and when a guy says a curse word, there's a beep. Well, you don't beep out a curse word, because how do you know when the curse word's going to come? So when I heard that, kind of unauthentic radio, I knew that I was in for something that was going to stink of bodies long decayed. And sure enough, it was rank, Daddy-O. The other movie they put on there is Any Given Sunday. Wasn't that bad? Any Given Sunday was kind of a cool football flick. It was cool. It had a cool scene where the players are partying and snorting coke. This one dude chainsaws a car in half. That is out of sight. At this party, Lawrence Taylor takes a chainsaw and cuts this cat's car completely in half. Freaking unbelievable. They got Rocky V, and I'm sorry I didn't see it. Rocky IV was fantastic, and I'm sure Rocky VI was just marvelous. But Rocky V, that's the one that we got to single out in that Rocky series. Caddyshack 2, Bad News Bears Go to Japan. Here's one. The Babe, starring John Goodman. If ever there was a guy that looked exactly like Babe Ruth, it's John Goodman. The body type, everything. You got to be kidding me. Anyway, then another one called The Main Event with Ryan O'Neal. I didn't get that one either. And then The Slugger's Wife, starring Michael O'Keefe. Most of these flicks are not that horrible. I can think of a lot worse. Pride of the Yankees sucks. With Gary Cooper, he didn't look like Lou Gehrig any more than I look like Lou Gehrig. And when he played that part, he had to be like 45. This guy is supposed to be Lou Gehrig. Forget about it. Another sports movie that really sucked, Black Sunday. Another sports movie that was really horrible, The Natural, and Bull Durham. Both of them just blew. Another sports movie that I didn't really particularly like, that I was not really enamored of, it's a little thing called Boys of Summer. Who? Never heard of them. So these are the movies that, of course, I'm kidding. Now here's the fall preview by day. I just got to look into this. Parker, 7th Henry, Boston, Fear of King of Queens, Yes, Dear, Whose Life is a One-on-One, Monday Night Football, Everybody on Third Watch, Girls Club, Everwood, Girls Friends, Stale Standing, Half and Half, CSI Miami, and Crossing Jordan. I don't know which movie, I don't know what show it is, but there's a show that I knew was going to be, I knew that it was going to stiff as big as that one that John Goodman did where he plays a gay guy in Ohio. Yeah, that was a real brilliant move there, whoever green-lighted that project. Let me ask you this. Don't you think I got a shot with my show if some cat greenlights some show where John Goodman plays a fag? Don't you think I got some kind of a shot? I'm going to walk into the NBC brass and say, well, here's my show. Well, we don't do... Well, who's the guy here that gave the old green light to John Goodman being gay? What are you, nuts? Where is it? Is this it? This is it? Geez, I wish I knew what show it was. Seventh Heaven, Yes, Dear, Whose Line Is It, The King of Queens, Third Watch. Eight Simple Rules, no. No, it's not Eight Simple Rules. There's another show that... I don't know. How'd Hidden Hills do last night? Or Tuesday night, you know? All right, well, we'll just have to wait and see. But that's what I'm talking about, see? These cats that greenlight these projects, and when you got a movie that, 3 years to make a flick, 3 years to hire and fire a writer, 3 years to hire and fire directors, 3 years to hire and fire actors, 3 years to hire and fire producers, 3 years to shop a studio, and you still come out with The Fan. I mean, De Niro's good, man. The guy, he's not lightning in a bottle, Jim. The guy's not going to save just any movie. Robert De Niro, as good as he is, this flick, he looked like a jackass in this movie. Goofiest thing I ever saw in my life. That guy is good. He ain't that good. Rollerball. Yeah, that's one we needed to make again. We really needed to update and make Rollerball better. And Planet of the Apes. What, the original was better, so you got to kind of change the plot like it's not Earth and the humans talk and just do it the way the guy did it. My kids go, well, a new Planet of the Apes is really cool. Why? Because, I don't know, the special effect. Well, all right, the special effects are better. The story blows. The humans didn't talk. Why are they talking? Well, I don't know. It stinks, man. It stinks. You got to understand, it stinks. No, it doesn't. Okay, because you disagree with me, you're not going to Ski Week. You're going to have to start agreeing with me on everything. Otherwise, we're not going on the Disney cruise. That's how you get these guys. The Rollerball remake was pure stench. But that's why I've got it in my video collection, because I collect that stuff. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.